today on Real Radio.
Nothing is dealt with by sweeping it under the carpet. Most men, most of us guys, want to sweep it under the carpet. Out of sight, out of mind. But it starts to fester or rot, and it begins to grow up through the carpet, and it begins to destroy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through 2 Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 2. Here we find Paul addressing personal issues among fellow believers and even between himself and this local congregation. Now, quite obviously, these are issues that must be resolved. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series quite simply called Say You're Sorry.
Because if you're visiting or if you go to a church today or if you're watching right now and you go to a church that they're just a bunch of sin sniffers and fault finders, and they're waiting for you to step out of line so they can wallop you, then you know what? That's probably not the most beautiful atmosphere for restoration and certainly for church discipline and for forgiveness. And so, listen, I brought forth this question thinking you would ask it, because I would. Pastor Jack, you might say, that was then, but this is now. And church discipline doesn't seem to happen much anymore. And so what's the big deal? What gives someone the right to exercise their authority regarding the church today? A lot of young people say that today, because a lot of young people have been brought up in very wimpy churches, and they say, you don't have the authority to judge me, man. I can live and do whatever I want, and you have no authority. Well, listen, there is a God-obvious anointing in the body of Christ that God has placed upon his leaders. Listen, are you listening?
Yes.
Not everyone in the church with a title or the name pastor or evangelist or reverend or right reverend or priest or bishop or what else? Am I missing anything? Just because you have the title and the degree doesn't mean you have a God-obvious anointing. There's a lot of people in the ministry that are there because maybe they thought that was a good job to have. I don't know what in the world would lead them to think that, but I mean, come on, it's insane. Or, well, you know, my grandpa was a pastor, my dad was a pastor, so I went into the ministry. That's not why you go into the ministry unless you're called. Well, how do I know if I'm called? Can I say this, not expecting any of you to believe it or recognize it? A horrible, wonderful, disgusting, beautiful, gut-wrenching joy, pain for God's people. To get so angry at them because they themselves are living a life that's destroying their own home and you care about them more than they care about themselves. Amen. Who would sign up for that? Nobody signs up for that. I can tell you right now that if you're called by God, then God has put within you a God-obvious anointing to care for the body of Christ, which sometimes is a care more than what people care for themselves for, which is very frustrating. It's like a parent. You don't want your kid to go do what they do. They think you're an idiot. You know how parents, you're abused by your children. They think you're so stupid. And the great thing is, kids do not think their parents are wise until they have kids. Mark Twain said, your parents get smarter as you get older. Isn't that true? You begin to realize, hey, my dad wasn't so dumb after all. I'm doing the same thing my dad did to me. It's a care, it's a love. And you cannot love someone or a church or a person without exercising discipline when needed. There needs to be a God-obvious anointing upon God-ordained leadership. Do you see it in your church, wherever you go? Do you see it? Is it, I'm not asking, do you like it? That's a big different thing there. None of us like this stuff, believe me. Remember when mom and dad used to say, son, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. Didn't we think that they were actually insane? You bare your bottom. That's what we had to do in my home. First of all, 90% of the discipline's over when you got to drop your shorts. I mean, come on, parents, listen up. Young parents, tune in. This is free. It's not in my notes. If you tell your child, now go back to your room. I'm going to be back there in 5 minutes. That, first of all, that, and again, 50% of your discipline is over when you say, go back to your room. I'm going to discipline you in 5 minutes. Half your job's done. They go back to their room. Oh, man. Oh, and by the way, you can just pull your pants down and get ready. Now, 60% of it's done. But your parents will say, this is going to hurt me much more than that's going to hurt you. And you think, well, that's impossible. You know what? Now, as a parent and a grandparent, it's, listen, it is so true. When you love someone, the last thing you want to do is send them down to their room and discipline them. But because you do love them, you must do it. Because you don't want them to grow up to be bizarre citizens and thieves and you know, rebels. I mean, rebels in bad things, you know. But there needs to be a God-obvious anointing. I'm going to give you some verses. Are you ready? In fact, I'm going to demand you write these down as I exercise my God-obvious authority. Write these verses down. They're very self-serving, I must admit. Hebrews 13:7. How should you relate to those whom God has put over your life? Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. What does that mean? That means that I will stand before God and say, Lord, I lived the best I could. I followed you and I taught them the word of God to the best of my ability. And I invited them, like Paul says in numerous places, as I follow Christ, you follow me. Look, I may love you and you may be just really sweet. I'm glad you're here. But listen, the motive for what I do is this constant fear. I will stand before God someday and give an answer for what has been taught in this church and how I lived my life privately and publicly. The fear of God, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom, okay? So don't think I'm doing what I'm doing because you're so cute and sweet. It's because I'm going to stand before God someday, okay? And the Bible says here in Hebrews 13:7, remember those. The word implies keep them up in prayer, okay? You're commanded to do that. I think that's sweet. Number two is Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you. What? Yep. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. For why? They watch out for your souls. You see? As those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. What does that mean? That means, listen, if I care, if I love you, I'm going to be praying and I'm going to be saying, Lord, this is a big church. It's bigger than what any one man can care for, so you care for it. And when issues are necessary, bring them to my or the other pastor's or church leader's attention. And Lord, we will obey you. And so when things come into our lives, listen, it is absolutely required that we as leaders meticulously follow the word of God. Because listen, we have to give an answer. Most people, even within the church, want to follow their emotions about judgments and disciplines. I feel, you know, I thought about it, and I know he microwaved the dog, but I just kind of felt like, take your deceiving feelings, because we're all deceived by our feelings, and throw them out the window, and look at what the Bible has to say. There's another one, Hebrews 13:24. So listen, you're supposed to keep us up in prayer. You're supposed to obey us because we watch out for your soul. That means everything that we deal with should have a soul context for the betterment of your walk. Okay? Now, listen, this is where Paul's coming from. Remember that. Here's the third thing, Hebrews 13:24. Greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints, those from Italy greet you. Greet all those who rule over you. What is that supposed to mean? Hi! Now look, I know in this church, in the foyer, or in the courtyard, I'm either going to meet you after service in the foyer or in the courtyard. And there's some people, you should see this. I like to say hi to people. I love to memorize names. I love to get the faces down. And many people who come here, you could be the one I'm talking about. You'll go like this through the foyer. Now you walk like this. And I'll see you. I want you to know, I'm revealing secrets. I'm targeting the person who is thinking, oh my gosh, there he is. I just want to get out of this church. And I see you. And I'm looking, and I'll go like this. Hi, hi. God bless you. Have a great week. Nice. What's your name? Okay, then. All right. No, but... And I wonder, though, this is what I honestly wonder. I wonder what he or she's thinking. I wonder what kind of pain or grief they've gone through to try. I had one woman tell me, because I did this, and she goes, look, I've been coming here for 2 years. We've not met. I've made it. You stopped me. This is it. She said this. She said, the last church I was at, I got hurt so bad. I love this church. I do not want to know you. She did. She was protecting herself. I understand where she's coming from. I said, I understand that. She loves this church. She's so beaten down. Her thinking is, if I know him, or if I get to know the staff, or if I get to know other leaders, I'm going to be disappointed, and I don't want that to happen because I love this church. You see? That I understand, but that is the quintessential act of sweeping something under the carpet, and it will destroy your life. It's true in your marriage. It's true in the relationship with your parents or your kids. It's true in church life. Nothing is dealt with by sweeping it under the carpet. Most men, most of us guys, want to sweep it under the carpet. Out of sight, out of mind. But it's there, it never goes away, it starts to fester or rot, and it begins to grow up through the carpet, and it begins to destroy. Very important. Proverbs, listen, Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And that's true in church matters. I'll just paraphrase this and move on for time's sake. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, listen carefully, in fact, you might want to write it down. Jesus said in Matthew 18:15-17, he said that when someone sins against you, you go to that person privately. Did you guys all hear me? I need to hear a collective yes or something. Oh man, that guy upset me. Why are you telling me? You just sinned. What? He hurt my feelings or he... You shouldn't be telling me this. Have you gone to him? No. Oh, great. You've not only now are sinning, but your sin may turn out to be greater than his sin that was against you. Why? Because God hates a talebearer, he says. You are talebearing. You're carrying on something that should have been obedient to Matthew 18:15 and gone to that guy alone and said, do I understand this right that you said this and this about me? No, I didn't say that. Where'd you hear that from? Or that person might say, yeah, I did, and I'm really sorry. I didn't think about it. And now healing begins. And right there, Matthew 18:15-17 has a perfect roadmap to restoration. Perfect. And only after multiple friends that you've taken to this person, when he still refuses to hear you, then you bring it to the church leadership. And then they go and deal with the guy. You know what this means? I'm hoping some of you are catching this, but now I'm going in for the kill. Twitter, Facebook, and blogging about someone whom you have not spoken to regarding an issue that you think you know so much about is a profuse sin. Amen. Tweeting, blogging, Facebooking, without exercising Matthew 18, is, I believe, the largest gossip universe in the world, and if used wrongly, a tool of Satan. Imagine if these media public platforms were used to encourage one another. No. Because I wonder how much we're really caring about following God biblically. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Is that wise or what? I mean, it is wise. The wisest guy in the world wrote it. But man, I'd rather have a faithful brother pull me off to the side and say, you know what? You know, I did a wedding yesterday right here, right down the middle aisle. And every wedding I do, before us guys go out, when we come walking down before the service, Because I love them, I say to them, are you okay? Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. All right, are you ready? You got the ring? I got the ring. Okay. To the groom, I'll say, you just say what I say. You just be here. Because he's like this. Best man, you got the ring. And you know what? You other guys are ready. And the last thing I say, okay, here we go. We're going to be going out there any second. Now, check your zippers. Check, 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 check. Let's go. And then we walk out. Why do I tell them that? Because I love them. If I didn't like the guy, I wouldn't say that. Are you with me? Now, of course, I'm goofing off with that. But take it into your lives. This person always hurts my feelings. Don't tell me, tell them. Speak to them. And healing can begin. The second thing is in verse 7, repentance. God's design for restoration is repentance. Discipline, my friend, brings about an atmosphere of restoration. Listen, discipline produces repentance. You need to get this down. What if there's a relationship that's broken in your life? I guarantee you, these are eternal truths that will never change. Your marriage will never be fixed until there is an atmosphere of restoration. There's some form of discipline that takes place. It could be by church. It could be by a brother-in-law. It could be by a wife, a husband. It could be by a father or a father-in-law. It could be by God just universally himself. But discipline puts the mind in a place of repentance. Do you guys understand that? Remember, the spank brings about, mommy, I'm sorry. Did you know Dr. Spock? Remember him? Young people don't know who he is. That's a good thing. But Dr. Spock wound up, after he messed up his own kids, he wound up saying, I was wrong and Dr. Dobson was right. I never disciplined my kids and I was wrong and Dr. Dobson was right. Why? A child will carry, listen, an adult will carry, a religionist will carry guilt and shame in their life if they never take it to the cross. You'll be paranoid, you'll be scared. Oh my gosh, why is that happening? I bet it's happening because in 1963 I did that thing and I never... You are acting that way because it's never been taken to the cross, it's never been dealt with. Again, it's been swept under the carpet and it will come up. Discipline brings about repentance, and repentance is one of the most glorious things in the world. Repentance, it's the root to saying you're sorry. He says, so that, verse 7, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort this man now. Why? Because he's repented, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. You don't want to heap condemnation upon a man who has repented. The word forgive here means to grant or to extend favor. The word means to pardon or to, listen to this, I like this. It means to authorize a rescue. Isn't that a cool word? Authorize a rescue. Someone having the authority, in this context, the church body in Corinth and the leadership and Paul, exercises an order, executes a command to rescue a brother or sister who has repented from their sin. Isn't that awesome? I love that. If you sin, by the way, we don't fall into sin. I had someone tell me the other day, I fell into sin and this is what happened. I said, you didn't fall into sin. He's like, yeah, you always talk like it's a hole in the ground. Every sin that you and I get messed up in has got neon lights pointing at it. Sin. The Holy Spirit's going, watch out. We don't fall into it like, like it's unmarked. No, the truth is, I was weak. I wasn't walking with God. I wasn't reading. I wasn't praying. My eyes started to wander. And I allowed myself to just go right into that thing. And now it's ruining my life or this or that or whatever. And I see the outcome of it all. And God has been dealing with me. And I want to repent of my sin. That's a beautiful day But listen, when a person repents of their sin, church, he's going to say in a moment, I'm testing you, Corinthians, on how biblical and obedient you are. When a person repents, the church is not supposed to brand a scarlet letter on the person's forehead, dress them up in black, and drag them behind the food cart or something. You're to establish a restoration process that brings about his full recovery. It doesn't happen in a second. Do you understand that? John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit worthy of your repentance. When someone is forgiven because they repented, it doesn't mean you put them back in as the leader of this or that ministry, or even if it's a husband or a wife and he or she repents, they should immediately get into marriage counseling. Why? So they don't make the same mistake again. Or the leader should be having a time of restoration, healing, recovery by those who love him. The word comfort means call them near, embrace them. The word swallowed here in this verse means to drown them. Don't drown them. The word sorrow means a deep sadness, a grievous sadness, a heaviness. And then the third thing is this. Encouragement. Write down verse 8, the encouragement. God's design for restoration is that we encourage. Let me tell you right now, what a great thing. I believe that you cannot be any of the things we've previously just talked about without being encouraging. You say, well, how do I be encouraging? You look at all the other points we've studied in this two-part message thus far. How do you encourage? He says in verse 8, therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Reaffirm means to reapply. The term means to lay down another coat. Like, you guys remember, first of all, somebody help me out. James, do we do wood shop in school anymore, like the wood shop and all that kind of stuff? Okay, good. Because in my mind, I think of when I went to school and we had wood shop and we'd make boats or, you know, we'd make stuff or we'd make a plaque. Well, I remember back in my day, we'd like a Jimi Hendrix plaque. With black lights, you know, and you'd varnish on the wood, the plaque, you varnish over and over again in wood shop until it's so thick. Remember, you'd use that urethane stuff you'd pour it out there and everybody was getting high in class. Nobody had filter things to breathe. Everyone got brain damage. You're putting that stuff out there and it's getting incredibly thick and shiny. And you're so meticulous. One day after another, one class after another, you lay down another coat. That's exactly what that word means.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Say You're Sorry. It's really a mini-series that takes a look at the first two paragraphs of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Say You're Sorry. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the church at Corinth. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've told you all about our free app for your smartphone or tablet, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs. And you can certainly visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And watch that program online. But you can also watch the television program right there at your smartphone or tablet through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. So just another reason to download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.